My name's Jennifer Withers. I'm the pastoral leader of preteen ministry, and if that doesn't make any sense to you, the other name that most people know is Junction 56. And I've been working on staff in Junction 56 for over 10 years since we started it, and to say that I love preteens is an understatement. But I love children of all ages. I love them when they're 2. I love them when they're 6. I love them when they're 12, and the teenage years and college years, and I even love them when they become adults. Let me just give you a little story about that. When I was probably 8, Dorothy Hamill came on the scene. And I don't know, but there are 2 things that Dorothy Hamill is famous for. And the first one was she was the United States Olympic gold medal winner in 1976. And the second thing that she was famous for was her hair. So they eventually called it the Dorothy Hamill wedge. And my mom decided that me and my sister needed to have the Dorothy Hamill wedge. Well, unfortunately, I wanted long hair. That's the truth. So I would put this blanket on my head and I'd clip these little barrettes in and I would wear that blanket like my long hair and I'd go around and flip my hair like this. And I was always with that blanket hair. Like, it kind of looked like Mary, you know, the mother of Jesus, except I was 8. And the other thing that you would always see me with is my baby doll. I'd have my doll on my 8-year-old hip, and I would walk around everywhere with this doll. And I pretended like she was my baby, because from the moment I can remember, I wanted to be a mom. And Shane and I are blessed that God chose to give us 3 children, and we are so thankful for them. Now, Shane and I, he would be here today, but he's at a volleyball tournament, and one of our youngest is in volleyball, and about 3 times a year, she has to play a tournament on Sunday, and so sorry, but this is the day. But if he was here, he'd be sitting right here for about 5 minutes, and then after that, he'd be right up here telling stories with me, because we're a great team, and that's the first thing I want to tell you about preparing or having teenagers in your home. Your teenagers need to see a healthy marriage. That doesn't mean they need to see everything perfect, because let's face it, we're humans and everything's not perfect, but they need to see a healthy marriage. They need to see what it's like for husbands and wives to laugh together, to argue, to reconcile. But if you are a single mom or a single dad, you're not behind the game. You just need to get your children in front of a happily married couple. Show them what a strong, healthy relationship is between a man and a woman. That will do more for showing your children what adulthood is and having relationships with the opposite gender than anything you'll say. So example first. Now God bless Shane and I with 3 children. Alexandra is 21 and she is a junior in college at Stephen F. Austin State University. She's studying special ed. So next year, next May in 2018, she'll graduate, and our prayer is that she'll launch. I'll talk more about that in a minute. Our second child is a boy. His name is Derek, and he's 18, and he is a senior at Centennial High School. And the reason why I know he's 18 is because he reminds us all the time. Yeah, Mom, I'm 18. I'm an adult. And it's everything I can do not to roll my eyes and go, mm-hmm. But I usually don't roll my eyes. I just say, mm-hmm. So that's Derek. And our third is Olivia. And Olivia is a 13-year-old eighth grader at Clark Middle School, right down the road here in Frisco. And I want to tell you, each one of them is different. Once we figured Alex out, Derek came along. And it was a whole new ball game. And then once we sort of figured those two out, Olivia came along and it was a completely different ball game. So just get ready. Get ready to be flexible. You might want to start practicing some yoga now. Yeah, really, I'm not kidding. So whether God has blessed you with biological children or adopted children or foster children, or maybe you're a grandparent or an extended family member raising the children in your home, He placed them in your home for a reason. He placed them specifically in your home. And don't ever underestimate that you have what it takes to be a parent, because he has the perfect plan. So that doesn't mean you always have to like what they do, because trust me, that you'll hear some stories. You won't always like what you do or what they do. Someday, my prayer for you, your family, and for my family is for us all to launch our children to be responsible adults. That's what we're going for. We're going for, the goal is to launch them to be adults who love God and love others and be responsible. Now, just in case you don't know what responsible, this isn't like the official definition, but my definition of a responsible adult, I'm making sure my phone's off, yeah, is they need to have enough self-control to hold a steady job, to be financially independent, to live outside of your home, to treat themselves with respect, and to be aware enough of others that to know that their actions affect others around them. So many young children, so many people in this world really just think about themselves, but that needs to be your prayer, is that you can launch them to be responsible adults. So how many of you have teenagers in your house right now? Okay. How many of you have preteens or younger? Okay. How many of you are a little bit scared? Okay. When I had young kids, when I first had Alex, I would go to other parents for advice because they had older children than I had, or they were older, and I would go to specifically women, but a lot of times couples, and say, how do you do this? Like, it's so hard and she's only three. And there was always one woman, seriously, and she'd say, well, you think it's hard now, but just wait until they're teenagers. And I thought, are you kidding me? That's your advice? That's not good advice at all. And so my husband and I talked, and I'm like, I'm scared. I'm scared to have a teenager. I don't have a clue what's going to go on. But it can't be that bad, because if it was that bad, I think we would have looked at other couples. And young married couples would look at other families and say, oh, no way. And I think our population would decline. And it's not. You know, having teenagers in the house brings a ton of joy. They're joyful. I'm not saying there aren't some hard times. There are. But they're so fun. And they stretch you in ways that you can't imagine. I have three things that I call kind of keys to raising teenagers. The first one is celebrate your teenager's accomplishments. The second one is communication. Communicate with your teenagers. And the third one is pick your battles. So let's go through the first one. I'm going to help you learn how to celebrate your teenager's accomplishments. And what I mean with, there are two ways. Number one, celebrate the everyday. There are going to be battles, but if you have spent time building your teenager up, if you have spent time building your preteen up, you're developing a relationship. So when that time that they act like a jerk, You can come down on them like you need to. You can discipline like you need to. And they'll know that you love them, that you love them. So some of the ways that we celebrate teenagers in our house, real simple. It's hard to be a teenager these days. It's really hard. So I want to challenge you to find one thing every day to positively acknowledge them for. And I'm not talking big. One thing I've positively acknowledged was my daughter, my youngest. We switched schools when she went to sixth grade, and she did not want to move. And every day she'd slump out Clark Middle School. It was awful, Mom. It was awful. And on the fifth day, she had a smile on her face and she was talking to a friend. So we celebrated. I just simply said, you know, I saw you talking to somebody you've never met before. Good job. Keep it up. It's going to get better. And sure enough, by week two, she was very happy to be at Clark Middle School. Some other things that we've celebrated is same kid. You'll understand this when I give you her nickname in a little bit, but she didn't lose her jacket that day. We just celebrate the little stuff, just the little stuff. So just do that to help them know that they're valuable. Celebrate the big stuff too. When they've done something big, when they've put others before themselves, when they do great in a game or just they participate in a game, when they have a band concert, whatever it is, celebrate. Celebrate the positive things. Let me give you an example. Last semester, our son Derek took AP Physics. And he's a senior, so guys, AP Physics is hard. I looked at it and I was like, oh, no. There is no way. And even his counselor, he struggles. He struggles in science. And his counselor the semester before said, you know, I think this class might be really, really difficult for Derek. So I relayed what the counselor said, and Derek said, Mom, I just want to push myself. So we celebrated. We celebrated. He'd never wanted to push himself before. I could barely even get him. I'm not kidding. I could barely even get him to go to class. I'd look on Hack, you know, the little thing you look at their homework, and there were times he didn't turn things in, and every day, I hate school. And he wanted to push himself, so I'm like, okay. Now, Derek didn't get an A. He didn't get a B. He got the lowest C he could, but he tried. He turned everything in. He studied. He had a tutor. He almost failed the class. He really did, and he needed it for graduation. So I'm panicking, and I thought, you got a C, buddy. Great job. We celebrated. Now, if our oldest had gotten a C, it would have been a different story. Because grades come easy for her. She's got a 4.0, and I'm like, really, you need a 4.0? But she does. She has a 4.0 at college, and that's great. I would not have celebrated a C with her if she hadn't put the effort in that Derek did. So celebrate. Treat each one of them differently. You can't expect them to be the same. Derek was pretty sure this is a fail. He was pretty sure his first 2 years of high school that he didn't have what it took to get into college. He was convinced, I'm not going to get accepted, so he didn't try. You see, I didn't realize that his lack of motivation and his disdain for school was based in the fact that somehow we had missed that he was down on himself. So we finally recognized it and we encouraged him. And I said, okay, junior year, let's take the ACT, take it. Let's look at what it takes to get into college. And he started to realize he's acceptable. He'll be accepted. And he began to realize that it was gonna go well. And that's when he chose to start trying harder. We should have recognized that early. And for a little bit, I really beat myself up about that. But you know what? You can't. You're gonna miss things. But don't be discouraged. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He's the perfect parent. We're humans. We're humans. We're not going to be perfect. Don't try to put the pressure on yourself to be perfect, because you'll never measure up. Now, Alex, like I said, she's academics, not hard for her at all. But one thing we celebrated for her is Alex never liked to sweat. She never liked to break out or work out. And I mean, if she sweated, she was miserable. But in college, she decided that she was going to start working out. Mom, I'm going to the rec. I'm going 6 days a week. I'm like, do you sweat? And she's like, I do. And I said, well, how much time are you spending? Like 10 minutes? Because that's kind of how, you know, 20 is my top on the elliptical. Well, Mom, today, 40 minutes on the elliptical. Then I go to weights and I'm like, are you kidding me? So we celebrated. That's little. But we celebrated because she went out of her comfort zone. Liv, she's crazy athletic. So we don't celebrate her sweating. She sweats all the time. She's in athletic gear all the time, and we don't really celebrate. But we acknowledge how great it is when she takes good care of herself, when she takes good care of our house. Now, Olivia has a nickname at our house. Her name is Hurricane Olivia. And she does not get this nickname. She is deserving of this nickname, let me tell you. When she comes in, she unloads it all. Every clothing that comes off, her books, her butter knife, her toast, everything. You know, within 30 minutes, Olivia has touched no less than 5 rooms and left no less than 40 items. And I am not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. She's really busy. She goes to practice. She's gone 4 nights a week. She comes to church. She may only be home for 30 minutes, but she can knock it out in 30 minutes. So we've nicknamed her Hurricane Olivia. So when Olivia picks up her clothes without me telling her to, we celebrate. When Olivia puts her dishes in the dishwasher, we celebrate, because that doesn't come natural to her. The second key, communicate with your teenager. I'm going to give you some tips, but this is the most important key. Whether they're 6 or preteens or teenagers, communication is the biggest key to raising your teenager. It's critical for preparing to have and having a teenager in your home. I was shocked when my preteen, I don't know what happened, it was like she was swallowed by an alien, came home, and she no longer shared stuff with me. She no longer opened up and just said, Mom, my day was, and just blurted it all out, because I don't know what happens, but they stop doing that at one time or another. And it's normal. It's normal for teenagers not to want to share everything with you. You see, God designed us to grow. And as we get closer to adulthood, they take on their own responsibility and they start separating from their dependence on their parents. And that's really hard when you're a parent and you want them to share everything with you, and they start putting up boundaries. That's okay. But not communicating at all is not okay. So it took us a long time to realize that. That's not to say that your preteen or teenager will never ask you for advice. Of course they will. That's not to say they'll never share anything that might be shocking to you or that you won't want to hear. They will. Just be ready. When they're ready to communicate, be ready to communicate back with them. Remember, we want to launch our children to be responsible adults. So we decided to put together a strategy to increase communication between us and our preteens. And our goal wasn't for them to share everything with us, but to share what they were excited about, share what they feared, share what they were struggling with, talk about their friends, ask about what they're confused about. That was our goal. Just remember, once you figure it out for your first one, you may need to read a completely different book to figure out how to communicate with your second one. They're different, so get ready. In a good way, in a good way. I will tell you, it's never boring. It's never boring having teenagers in the house. One of the things I do, and you just decide what's good for you. My kids have phones. Your children have phones, cell phones? Okay. How many of you think your children won't have phones until they leave your house? Okay. I text my teens. I don't text them all the time. That's not the only way I communicate, but that's how they communicate with each other. So I text with them so that they can see, you know, maybe I don't want to tell mom, but I'm going to text her something. Or maybe I just don't want to yell, it's time for dinner, so I just text, it's time for dinner sometimes. Use a variety of different ways, because they do. Communicate the way they do. That doesn't mean you have to pretend like you're a teenager, because you're not. Sometimes I put this radio station, I put their radio station on, even if I hate it. I put their radio station on. I try to meet them where they are. I watch TV with them. I'm going to share something with you, and you might think, oh, what in the world is this girl doing? My daughter and I watch, now I know, we watch The Bachelor together. And the reason why we do is third show, maybe second show of the season, my daughter's like, Mom, that girl just told him she left him. She's only known him for, like a week. Mm-hmm. And Mom, I can't believe the way he's acting. And he's telling one girl this and another girl this. And The Bachelor, I'm not telling you to watch The Bachelor, but The Bachelor has opened up so many conversations about healthy and unhealthy relationships in our house. So that's what we choose to do. Watch what they're watching and talk and use it to talk to them. Even a Disney movie, you can talk to them about Beauty and the Beast. What's realistic, what's not? Watch TV with them. Find out what they're interested in and do it with them. So I gotta share a fail. Derek. Derek is crazy good at video games. I mean crazy good. So we were going through a time where I just was not connecting with him. And I said, Derek, what can we do together? He's like, play video games with me. And I'm like, okay. Now, if it's Miss Pac-Man, I'm all over it. But it was like, it was an army game, and they kill each other, he gets all of his friends together, and sometimes all of his friends come to our house, and they all bring their computers, and they hook up, and they show it on the big screen, and they play this game together. But usually, it's everybody's at their own house, and for a long time, I would hear Derek just talking and yelling, and I'm like, who's in your room? Nobody. I'm like, who are you talking to? Well, I'm talking to Thomas. And I'm looking, I don't see Thomas. Well, he's in my headset, Mom. I'm talking to him on my headset. And I'm like, well, okay, tell Thomas I said hi. So they would all play these games. And so Derek wanted me to play with him. I have hand-eye coordination problems, I think. I'm not sure. But I tried, and I couldn't get my little guy out of the fence. And finally, I got my little army man guy to come out of the fence. And, I didn't kill one person. And I was really okay with that. But pretty soon after that, Olivia came down, and she said, Derek, Why do you keep killing mom? I had no idea, no idea that Derek was killing me because he was getting so frustrated because I stunk at this game so badly. So I decided, I'm not going to play video games with Derek. That is not my cup of tea. But Shane is really good at video games. Better than I am, let's put it that way. So Derek and Shane will sit up in the game room and they'll play video games. And I sit up there with them and I cheer them on. It's just about time and a relationship with your teenager. He feels important. Sometimes I'm on Pinterest, but I go, good job, whatever. And that's how we choose to spend some time. Now, I'm a morning person, or maybe an afternoon person, but I am definitely not a night person. But my three kids, all of my teenagers are night people. They wake up at night. If they had their preferred schedule, and this is really the truth, and it wasn't always this way at my house, they would stay up till 3, and they would get up at noon. And sometimes, well, my 21-year-old, when she's home for the summer, or she was just home for Christmas, I don't dictate her schedule. That's pretty much her schedule. My 18-year-old son, my 13-year-old does not have that schedule at all, but she would like it. So I found that I've got to be a night owl. I have to stay up and talk to them because that's when they want to talk. So this is what I do. I spend time in their room because for a long time I didn't do this, and a wise woman said, they need to be comfortable with you and your husband in their room. So I go in there and I lay on the floor, I sit on their bed, and I'll have my laptop and they're on their computer, or we just talk. Mostly it's me talking. Derek takes about 20 minutes to break him down to where he'll talk. You see, Derek, we used to call him Eeyore, because we would just get these one syllable, and I would impersonate Derek, and this is my impersonation. Hi, I'm Derek, I'm 15, and I'm tired. And he would do that for probably a year and a half, and I was like, seriously, what is wrong? But he would smile, he would laugh and smile, and totally be sociable when his friends were around. So I knew he had it in him. Just so you know, Derek is starting to wake up. And I call it, he had the teenage funk. And I call it, he's waking up. I see glimpses of just laughter and communication and smiling. And I'm seeing them more and more and more now. So he's transitioning from the teenage funk to starting to grow into an adult. And it's beautiful. And I hope that Olivia doesn't go into that, but she might. So it's okay. Just know if your kid is there. Does anybody have a kid in teenage funk at home? A few of you. It doesn't last forever. It really doesn't. So just be hopeful. Be encouraged that they come out of it. They do know how to talk, even intelligibly, usually, sometimes. I encourage you to go to their rooms. Sit on the floor, sit on their bed, and give them time to just get used to it. And then talk. For the first few weeks, it just may be you talking, but eventually they start talking too. And don't go in there and tell them, man, this room is a mess. Or, really, bud, you need to do your laundry. Or don't go in there to tell them what they need to do differently about their room. Go in there to spend time with them, to build a relationship. And eventually, we're almost there, they'll get comfortable. It won't be weird for mom or dad to come hang out in their room. They'll even, maybe, look forward to it. Those times are sweet. Now, Olivia, her time to open up is after school. So after school, I make sure. You see, I take her and two friends to school. And one of her friend's mom said, you know, I can take Olivia home. I said, oh, no. That's my time, because that's the time she's like vomiting everything that she does throughout the day. And it's incredible because that's my short window to get insight into what she's struggling with and what she's excited about and what's going on in her life and who is her friend and who is not, you know, whatever's going on. And so she just talks. And sometimes I take the long way home. Lately, a couple of her friends have been joining us on the way home, and so she doesn't open up when they're in the car. But I told you she goes to practice 3 times a week and church. So 4 nights a week, I make sure that during those rides, she also likes to talk. She's just relaxed and ready to share, and those rides, we take advantage. So we might go to frozen yogurt afterwards, or we might just take a wrong turn and take longer to go home. We drive home as long as it takes for her to get everything out that she could possibly get out. And I treasure those times. Be patient. It doesn't come right away. If you're just starting this now, it takes a few weeks, even a few months to get there. So be patient. We saw plenty of times where we would have this great thing going and we would be communicating and then they shut down. Look at those things, look at those times and think, what's going on? Is there anything I need to be aware of? And let me give you an example of what it's like when there's no communication. Just so you know, I have permission to share all of these stories. So I got permission from my children. Alex is, like I said, she's a junior in college, but she's a people pleaser. She got great grades, very obedient, pretty much did whatever we wanted her to do. But I noticed about her sophomore year, she in high school, she didn't have very many friends at school. She had acquaintances, but not friends, which was very, very unlike all of the previous years. And just so you know, she went to the same school with the same kids from kindergarten, and then they moved into middle school together, and then they all, you know, they funnel the middle schools into the high schools. So it's not like she wasn't familiar with the kids, but she just sort of pushed her friends away. And I didn't really understand it, but she had a really best friend here. And I loved that friendship. They're still friends. They still Snapchat every day. I loved that friendship. And I thought, well, that's enough. So she went off to college. And I'll tell you, her freshman year, she tanked. She tanked. Her roommate called me. And it was during Junction on a Wednesday night, and she said, something's wrong with Alex. She's hurting, and I don't know what to do. And I said, I'll be right there. And I left Junction that night about 8:30. And I drove 3 hours to Nacogdoches. And Shane would have come with me, but we had 2 other kids at home, so he stayed. So I called her and I said, I'm on my way, pack your bag. I'm coming to get you. And she did, she packed her bag and I got there. I remember it was like 1:30 in the morning. And I gave her a big hug and I gave her roommate a big hug and said, thank you. Thank you for calling me. And so I took Alex to a hotel that night. There was no way I was driving back home. And took her to a hotel and we checked in and I said, you know what, I'm really tired and I'm guessing you're pretty tired too. So if it's okay with you, can we just go to sleep now and we'll talk in the morning? And she was so relieved. She was relieved that I was there, that she was important enough for me to drop everything and go. She was also relieved she didn't have to talk that night. She was exhausted, so we slept. And the next morning I said, you know what, call your professors, email them whatever you need to do. You're not going to school tomorrow, and you're not going to school Friday. We're going home. And she said, well, am I coming back Monday? And I said, honestly, I don't know. I said, we're going to talk, and we're going to see. And so we got home, and we talked. And one thing I did that was absolutely beautiful was I reached out to someone here on staff, and Chrissy Smith gave me some advice, and I said, I think I'm over my head. I don't know what to do. And she said, there's a wonderful counselor. And she put me in touch with her, and I called Rachel. She was a counselor that counseled specifically high school and college age girls. And I called her and I said, we need you. We need to talk to you. So she got me in, honestly, that day, which is so rare. And Alex spent a few months talking to Rachel. It completely changed our relationship. You see, I didn't know this. I should have reached farther. I should have. Shane and I should have said, something's not right when she was in high school. But because she had this one great friend, she had good friendships at church, I didn't. What had happened was she was sexually harassed in high school. She was in theater, and it was during play practice. And this boy would sexually harass her, and she said, no, no. And then he decided to start rumors about her in her school. They were totally false. And that boy moved away within the year. But she continued. She saw that as, if I make myself vulnerable to others, they're going to betray me. So she put up a wall. And her friends knew her. I am convinced that they did not believe one thing that this jerk said. I'm convinced they didn't believe him, but Alex thought it was true. So she put up a complete wall and wouldn't let anybody in. And that's why she would pretend like everything was fine when she was broken inside. So as she worked with the counselor and as we worked, we kept that communication going. Our relationship is beautiful. She shares things. Sometimes she shares things I'm like, did you? I don't say that, but in my mind I'm like, did you really need to share that? You know, some things I don't want to hear, but I need to. She shares her fears. She shares her struggle. She shares her sin. She shares her joys. And it's amazing. That lesson has trickled down to the younger two. Communication, I can't tell you how important open communication with your preteens and teens is. It's invaluable. So the last thing I want to touch on communications is cell phones. Cell phones. This is the first generation to grow up with the internet at their fingertips. And it's a challenge because I don't know about you. I probably am just going to be revealing my age. But when I was in high school, even in college, there weren't computers. Nobody had a home computer. The internet hadn't been invented, and there were no cell phones. Shortly after I graduated from college, we'd had car phones, you know, like the huge bricks, the big car phones. But this is a completely different ballgame than when we were growing up. Social media and the internet, they're good. They're good. But they can both be used for evil. They can be used for evil. And most likely, I am not trying to scare you, but most likely, every single one of your teenagers will be exposed to something that would horrify you, either on their phone or an accidental search or a pop-up or on someone else's phone. And without revealing too much, it's here. It's here in this building. It is. So the best thing that you can do to help your preteen or teen is to talk to them about it. Talk to them. Don't pretend like it's not happening. It is. Don't judge them. If you see something on their phone that's alarming, get all the information before you talk to them about it. So we have some phone rules at our house. Number one is we have the right as parents to do phone checks at any time. That means, okay, we need to do a phone check, turn in your phones. That doesn't mean go delete all your stuff and 10 minutes later bring it to me. That just means bring me your phone. And we don't do it with our 21-year-old. They're 21, she's 21. We don't check her phone, she's an adult. But we check our 18-year-olds and we check our 13-year-olds. We check their Instagram, if they have it. We check their Snapchat, we check their texts, we check their photos, we check them. Now, sometimes you're gonna find stuff that you don't like. We never call our kids out on something that someone else posts. They have no control over that. Now, if someone else posts something regularly that is against what God teaches, they block them. Either we ask them, we have not had to ask them to block them. They've blocked them on their own. I've seen tons of cuss words, tons of them. I've seen porn. I've seen suggestive remarks. I've seen sexual harassment. I've seen bullying on my kids' phones. And sometimes it's according to what it is. Sometimes, and just so you know, usually that's someone else posting. They never get in trouble for that. But we always talk about it. You know, so-and-so posted this video. What do you think about that? And we talk about it. And let me tell you, if your teen happens to say damn in a text or the word, you know, a cuss word in a text, don't freak out. Don't freak out. Just remind them, you know what? That might not be the best language. That's not the language that we teach you to say. It doesn't mean you have to never give them their phone again. Or if someone else posts a cuss or, you know, texts a cuss word, just talk to them about it. It doesn't mean that you've totally lost them and they're on drugs and they're, you know, it doesn't. So just breathe and talk to them about it. So phone checks anytime. The other thing is our daughter Olivia, she has to turn in her phone every night before she goes to bed, usually around 9 o'clock, even if she stays up later. And the reason why, there are several reasons. I can tell you that this year, actually not too long ago, my 13-year-old daughter, I got a call from the assistant principal at Clark Middle School, and I will tell you, they handled it beautifully. But she was being sexually harassed. She, along with seven other girls, were being sexually harassed by a boy. She had already blocked this boy. I didn't know, but I knew something was going on. And she had already blocked this boy on her social media. And when the assistant principal called me and told me some of the things that he was saying to her, Shane and I immediately were in the school the next morning, and they were horrific. They were criminal. It was criminal what he was saying to these girls. And the first thing I asked when I got there is my daughter safe today? And she said, yes, she is. And she told me the steps they were making, they were doing, and they handled it beautifully. But to hear those words said to your 13-year-old daughter is horrifying. And the first thing I talked to her about was, you know, Liv, I don't know this boy, but maybe you liked him. maybe you flirted with me. And she's like, no way, Mom. I did not like him at all. I mean, but maybe she did. I said, even if you did, no girl, no woman deserves to be treated like this. The other thing I said to the assistant principal is, I can almost guarantee you that this boy is knee-deep in porn. Knee-deep. Because those words don't come from a 13-year-old boy's mouth. I can't even think of any situation where they would come across those things that he said to those girls in a normal situation. So, talk to your children about porn. I started talking to mine when they were little. And they were on the internet, and I said, okay, we're gonna go see Tarzan. They were little. We're gonna go see Tarzan. Can you go look up, type in amcmovies.com. And I was mixing up in the kitchen, the muffin mix, and I hear, oh my word. That's how my oldest talked when she was little. And she said, this is why children are not allowed on the internet without their parents. And I am rushing in. I'm like, what? And I'm thinking, what could she put? Hardcore porn. She just mixed up two letters. That's all it was. And I clicked, and I clicked, and every time I clicked, another pop-up came, and another, and I'm clicking, and I'm clicking. And so I said, okay, I'm so, so sorry. I'm so, so sorry that your first introduction to pornography is where I sent you. And it was a mistake. It's not a sin. But let's talk about what you saw. I said, those poor people, that's what they view as sex. That's not how God designed it. God designed sex to be beautiful and great between a husband and his wife. And it is good. But if it's not between a husband and his wife, it feels wrong because it's sin. And pornography, what you saw, is never right. It's never right. Talk to them about pornography. It's a big problem. It is. It's a problem between boys, and it's a problem between girls. Sandra, did you have a question?
I just want to share something.
Okay.
I'm just going to be as open as I can because it is a rampant problem. I had a child, same situation. She was doing My Little Pony. My Little Pony, I kid you not, kids. They're taking cartoon things that your kids are doing and ripping into porn. And my daughter was 7 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, they sure it. Are. Just be diligent. Thank you.
Yeah.
Be diligent. They're going to be exposed to something, whether it's a friend showing them. Just if you start having these conversations, now is not too late. They'll come to you. They'll know. That's what my mom was talking about. That's what my dad was talking about. That's not right. One thing I tell my kids, tell your friends that we do random phone checks. Just let them know. And so they do. They tell their friends that we do random phone checks. And the reason why they do that is their friends don't usually send them stuff because they say, if you send me stuff, just know my mom's going to see it or my dad's going to see it too. And it does a great job to cut out a lot of stuff you don't want your kid to see. So, like I said, Liv has to turn in her phone every night. And the reason why is she lost her phone. She loves her phone. So when she really messes up, that's the first thing we do. We take her phone. So I took it and I put it by my bed and ding, 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 lighting up. I was like, what in the world is going on? I'm not kidding. She got some kind of something through social media every single night until 2 a.m. And it started again at 6 a.m. And it's from all different kinds of friends. I'm like, no wonder she's so grouchy. She doesn't get any sleep. And I'm not getting any sleep either. So I moved her phone to the bathroom. She still turns her phone in every night, but having their phones in their beds, they may not be on porn, but I'm telling you, they are not sleeping. They don't sleep because I don't know what these teenagers are doing all night. They should be sleeping because, you know, they go to school all day, but they're talking to each other all half the night at least. And preteens and teens, they need more than 4 hours of sleep.
That is happening. And I'm telling you, the absolute truth, she's got it on the nose. So if you're not checking him in, get him in, because I've caught him 4 and 5 times. My daughter was sick last week with the flu that's going around. And I told her at 6 o'clock, I took her stuff away from her and I forgot to take her laptop. And I show up at 11. I thought, I asked them if they wanted to go to Shin Yen. They didn't want to. I came in. 11 o'clock, she's up in her room.
Yeah. The thing is, don't make it like a punishment. Just make it an expectation. Turn your stuff in. Now, we don't really hardly ever check Derek's phone anymore. He's 18. He's going to college in August. I'm not saying we're completely finished parenting him. We're not. But there is a time where you have to let go and pray that they launch, that they have self-control to launch. Now, if you know they're, if you suspect that they're on websites they shouldn't be, absolutely. Use these as general guidelines, not as hard, fast rules. Every family's different. He's starting to prove himself, and it feels good. He's growing and he's maturing. And let me give you an example. It starts out as a fail, ends up as so sweet. Derek dated a girl when he was 15. And I knew this girl. She's sweet. She's sweet. But I don't know what was going on in her head, but she was pretty convinced that she wanted to marry Derek. Derek was 15. He wasn't even convinced what he wanted to eat for breakfast the next day. I mean, really, 15-year-old boys aren't able to commit. But they're just not. So, but she was convinced they were ready to get married. And she viewed sex as love. She felt like if she could get Derek to have sex with her, then it would prove that he loves her. And as adults, that's ridiculous. We know that's ridiculous. But I noticed Derek changing. He was angry and he was irritable and he was not communicating. And I was like, what is going on? And then she'd come over to our house. She was welcome in our home and he was welcome at her home. But I had talked to her mom and you have to be home. They can't, you know, we don't leave teenagers alone. At least couples. So she'd come over, and every time she'd come over, they'd have to sit in the living room or the family room, and I would cook. And she'd be like, Mrs. Withers, you sure do cook a lot. And I said, oh, yes, I do. I said, I cook every time you come over, and I'm just going to bake. And I mean, I would have mountains of stuff baked. Like, I'd be prepared for the week when his girlfriend came over. But they got more bold, and they just, I don't know what they were thinking, but they got closer and closer, and they would get physical even when I was right there. And I'm like, really? Hello, I'm back here cooking, you know. And so one time they were in the living room, and the living room is right around the corner from our family room. It doesn't have a door. It doesn't even have walls. It has like a post. So it's not like they were really alone, but I was mixing and I walked by and they were laying down and I was like, what is going on here? And so I said, Shane, you take care of this. So Shane goes down, and my husband's 6'6" and he raises up and he straightens his shoulders and puts his chest back and he goes, get up. I was like, yes. So they get up, and Derek later said, Mom, when am I going to be able to date? So he dated her for a while. He was 16 now. When am I going to be able to date? And I said, you? In a car? With her? Never. I said, when you leave my home, because I don't trust you. I don't. She's welcome in our home. I love her. I've known her for a long time. but you're not dating her in your car by yourself. So he's like, okay. And a couple weeks later, he comes up to me, and his girlfriend's there, and he said, Mom, and he has this big grin on, can we go up to the game room and watch a movie? And I'm like, no. And he said, well, why not? He was testing me. He wanted me to set limits. I knew it. And I said, because you're 16 and I can't go up and sit with you because there's no cooking up there going on and I'm busy. And so a few weeks later, he broke up with her, and he did it in a very respectful way. They were very, very respectful to her. But just about a month ago, after this incident with the sexual harassment with Olivia, I decided to bring Derek down, and Shane and I were talking to him, and I said, you know, let me ask you a question. Have you ever, or do you, watch porn? And he goes, Mom, I used to. Remember when I was dating? She told me it was okay. She wanted me to watch it. And I did. I watched it for about a month, but Mom, it was disgusting. He said, the way they treated each other is disgusting. Now he's dated, he has a new girlfriend. They've dated for about a year. She's a doll. I really, really love her. They're very respectful. They're respectful of each other, and they're respectful of us. And he said, as soon as I started dating Katie, his new girlfriend, I realized I'd stopped. But then I thought back to the time when I was looking at porn, and I realized I never want to look at that again because I respect Katie too much, and I respect myself too much. So what started out as a fail ended up being, we celebrated. That's huge for an 18-year-old boy to realize. The last key. Oh, one more thing. What you need, this is just the minimum. The minimum you need to communicate with your children are his or her successes. Celebrate their successes. Talk about their fears and their struggles. Talk about things that are self-destructive. One of those is porn, alcohol, drugs, eating disorders, cutting themselves, sex. Talk about all of those things. If you're not already doing it, start today. Because as long as you can talk to them and open those lines of communication, the more likely they will be to stand up when they're tempted to sin, or to come to you when they already have. Talk to them about their friends. Who are they? Talk to them about their dreams. And talk to them about how you can pray for them and how they can pray for you. Now, the third and final key is to pick your battles. We do have to discipline at time to time our teenagers. But pick your battles. I don't discipline Livy for leaving her shoes on the floor. That's just not important. That's part of, I pick my battles. Your battles might be completely different than mine, but when you choose those battles, communicate. You and your spouse communicate, or you and your parents, or whoever helps take care of your teenagers, communicate that. These are the six things, or however many you have, that are completely not okay with us, ever. Communicate them with your teenager, too. They need to know. Then decide on what your punishment is. And I like to get really creative. We used to spank them when they were little, and I don't know whether you spank your kids or not, but we used to. Clearly, they're too big to spank now. They would look at me like, are you out of your mind? So I can't even, you know. But we choose what hurts the most. So we figure out, what do they like the most? And that's what we remove when they break one of the rules that we choose to do battle on. With Liv, the first thing to go is her phone. She's very, very social. So we take her phone. If we have to go to step two, we take our friends. Step three would be an athletic team. Whatever it takes to get to them, whatever hurts the most, do it. Because the thing is, when you do that, you probably only have to do it once or twice. And they know you mean business. Sometimes it stinks as a parent to take some of those things away. Maybe she was going to go to your friend's daughter's birthday, but you've taken away her friend's. And so you have to don't go too. I mean, sometimes you just have to put on your parent panties and, or anyway, and be the parent. With Derek, every minute, it's his computer. If I take his computer away, he acts like I've killed him. But I've only had to do it a few times. Figure out what's so important. One of a friend of mine, he took away hair products, like curling iron and, you know, whatever is really, really important. We've never had to do that. Whatever's really, really important to them, take it away, but only use this when it's one of the things you've decided to do battle with. Don't use it for the small stuff because everybody's going to mess up. Your kids are going to mess up. You're going to mess up. So don't be extreme on the stuff you don't need to be extreme on. So I want to leave you with this. Expect each of your teenagers to be different. What works with one is not going to work with all of them. Expect curveballs. What works today, it may not work tomorrow. Celebrate the everyday and the big stuff. Don't take on the shame of their sins. And what I mean by that is don't try to hide when your kids mess up. Oh, we're not going to tell anybody about this because they might think that I'm not a good parent. Don't do that. Don't do that. They're going to mess up. Don't expect them to fulfill your dreams. That's a big one. You have, whether you know it or not, you have dreams for your children to be the best soccer player and go on and play in the Olympics. Or you have, and maybe your kid is a really good soccer, maybe they will go into the Olympics, I don't know. But don't make your dreams theirs. Enjoy them and remember that God specifically placed them in your home. He did. You've got this. You've got it. And don't do it alone. The last thing I want to leave you is, we're here for you. We have an entire staff. Our family ministry staff is the biggest staff at Stonebriar, is the biggest ministry at Stonebriar Community Church. And every single one of us, we really do, would love to meet with you, talk with you, pray with you, give you suggestions. But I want to tell you this. So many people look at this church. I've heard it so many times. Oh, this church is so perfect. Don't think you have to clean up your mess before you come to us. Because you know what? This is the real truth. We're all a mess. We are. We're humans. We're messy. And don't think that just because I'm standing up here that I've got it all together, because I'm a mess too. So don't think you are going to be rejected or be met with judgment if you come and talk to us. You're not. We love you and we love your children. We do. So if my cards are back there, you are welcome to get one. It has my email. It has my office number. It has my cell number. Call me. If you don't want to talk to me, Pastor Dave Carl is the pastor of family ministries. If you don't want to talk to him, there's Christy McElhaney. There's Christine right back here, Christine Clark. There's Linda Wiley. There's, I can't even think, Kelly Wilkinson. Who else? I mean, we have a whole slew. We're on the website. Look us up. We want to meet with you. We want to do life with you.